Going live.
Hi guys, we're live with Billy TK, but I don't know actually how to get the his audio through. Just let me know, Ralph, if you're listening, if you can hear Billy's music in the background. Otherwise we'll have to just cut the stream here. And people can chat us somewhere else, I think. Sorry, guys.
And that's a good place to come on in. Kia ora, everybody. Kia ora e hoa mā. Nau mai. Ngā mihi mahana nui ki a koutou ki a koutou katoa. I roto e ngā ingoa a tāhua tapu a iukaiti. In the name of the Lord. Welcome, everyone. A very warm welcome to you. You know what? I went and had a haircut today, and I said, can you trim my beard? And he took it off. He's only... I look like I haven't shaved for 3 days, but anyway, you get that on the big ones, so on the big days. And there goes Sister Laurel, says her t-shirt's arrived. Yes, it's this t-shirt here, the River of Lies, the New Zealand Scandemic. And boy, is it a scam, I tell you, it is an absolute scam. Hey, Sister Ange, Sister Megan, good to see you guys. And I hope you're keeping well. Thank you for all the well wishes, Sister Kylie. Brother John and Mel, thank you so much for all of the kind messages that I've been getting today. And I've got to say, you know, I put a quote in my Bible Fellowship family group chat tonight, and I put a quote in there, and the quote was this, is that we're going through, all of us are going through dark and challenging times, and it's these sorts of times that I know that's when our faith is being tested. And I just want to encourage everybody to know that God never allows us to be tested beyond our ability for him to reach us and look after us and take us through it. So that's where I sit with it. And but I just want to say I'm always very, very touched by the beautiful messages that you guys send me. I really am, especially in regards to my daughter Haley. She's sick at the moment. She really is. She went back to hospital. She got a lumbar puncture, which just sounds like a nightmare. And she's vax injured. She's injured. Now we're just going through the whole scenario of establishing, you know, really what is the recovery protocol that we have to introduce so that she gets through it. She's had a non-stop headache for like almost 2 weeks now, and you know, she got put back into hospital just a day and a half after she got out. And she came out today, and she's trying to convalesce, and it's going to be a long road. She's still not walking, and you know, we've got to remember that Barr syndrome, this is what it is, Guillain-Barré syndrome, or Miller-Fisher syndrome is what they call it as well, is a very, very, very incredibly, meant to be incredibly rare disease. But we have 34 cases of it represented on the CALM report of the medsafe.govt.nz website. We've got 34 cases there alone. Now, I know some other cases through the documentary of people that have got it. And, you know, this is meant to be a very, very rare viral disease, so-called. And, you know, this is truly, it's truly horrible. And you're right, dear Karen, she is my baby. She's my big baby. She's 28. So she's one of my three adult children. I've got the three little ones at home. And, you know, it is. It's horrible. It's made this documentary that I'm doing, the River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic Investigative Documentary, makes it, it was real to me already. You all know that. I've lived it through the last 2.9 years, this thing that we've gone through. But now it's even way more, I guess, way more, more, I don't know if the word's real, but I guess you could say I've now got skin in the game. I've got my blood and my skin in the game. This is my daughter. And so we just have to go through it. And now, again, our trust is in the Lord. All right, big deep breath. Okay, welcome to you again, and it's good to have you. And tomorrow is a big day, and to help me discuss this and about a couple other things I want to talk about tonight, is going to be my brother Vinny. We just had a big meal together a couple of hours ago, and I'll bring him on in a second. But a couple of the other items I want to talk about. One is I want to talk about a very, very, very sneaky covert operation, you would call it, at Auckland University, discussing the constitutional future of New Zealand, right? And I want to talk to you about that, because if you didn't know about it, then you need to, because this has been very, very sneaky. $1,000 a ticket to attend this conference that they arranged at Auckland University, and we'll talk about that. The other thing I want to talk about as well is this boomer of an article that's come out, which is a couple of days old, though, and it just goes in line with what we've been talking about, the New Zealand government preparing for another surge of tyranny. You probably thought I was going to say a surge of cases. No, a surge of tyranny. The cases are never going to go away, not as long as they use the PCR test, which is faulty. You know that. I know that. They know it's faulty. The Americans have pulled the PCR test from use in the United States, and yet the New Zealand government still uses it. Why? Why? Why are they doing that? It's a good measure. It's a good tool to use if you want to ramp up cases. So, but America, they've gotten rid of it. Let's not forget that. They've gotten rid of it, right? So this is a very, very, very suspicious looking thing, and I want to show you this article. But anyway, without further ado, you know him as Vinny Eastwood. I know him as Vinny Eastwood. We all know him as Vinny Eastwood. And welcome the man, the myth, the legend that is Vincenzo Eastwood. Kia ora, brother. Welcome to Last Day Events News.
Last Day Events News? Oh, I didn't realise this was the new name of the show. I'm not sure if I'll stick around. All right, no. It's all good. It's all good.
I'm waiting for you to come to Bible study.
Yeah. I mean,
I've been talking about this, so. But anyway.
Oh, well, I've been slower coming to Bible study than the second coming of Christ. I'll say that much. But anyway, we're gonna be in for a good show tonight.
All right, mate. We'll I'll be praying for you straight after this when I have family prayers with my darlings back up home. But anyway, we would love to see your Bible study. All right, brother. Tomorrow, you and I, we are in court. How many times have you and I, we were in court for 4 days last time. Was it three days last time. And, but our lawyers have been in court for us about three or four times. So really, if you add that, let's say three times for the lawyers, this is our fifth time in court.
Yeah, in over a year. And it's kind of like, I don't know. They say that you don't want to invade Russia during the winter because of the heavy attrition on your troops. And that's what this feels like. It feels like they're trying to make us invade Russia during the winter and wear us out through attrition.
Yeah, it feels like that. I mean, really, I mean, let's face it, they've got people murdering people, they've got people harming people, they've got serious crimes being committed. We've got ram raids being committed by 11-year-old kids. We've got people being raped. We've got all sorts of stuff, and they're worried about us. But I don't think it's just the case of the backload of the court system. I'm actually starting to suspect if it is a bit of torture as well. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it could be a little bit of column A, it could be a little bit of column B. One could argue that the court system itself is a very torturous thing, and to be subjected to it for any period of time causes a lot of undue stress on the body and the mind, respectively. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to destroy the two largest and most prominent truth speakers in the country, stress them out and bankrupt them seems to be a fairly reasonable tactic, don't you think?
I think you're right, because, you know, that's, you know, what I would love to be able to say if I could speak tomorrow, and I don't know if I don't think we can, but because we've given our evidences. But as you know, in my witness statement and testimony, I questioned the whole reason why we were there. But if there was something more I could add to that, it would be like, you know, this has cost my kids and I, my wife, it's $20,000. You know, I've raised about $6,500-$7,000 from out there, but the rest of it's been our own money, and we don't have a lot of it anymore. And it's still not over. It's still not over, you know, and you've got that. You've got the fact that they put us in prison for a day and a half. Then they had us in house arrest for 19 days, for you, 5 weeks, almost 6 weeks. No internet. You and I weren't allowed to talk or meet. I wasn't allowed to go into the Central Business District of Auckland. So these are serious penalties that they've handed on us already. But it's for me, really, with you, brother, is the great stress that you've had to carry, and we've both had to deal with it as well, you know, because it says that we're up for either a $4,000 fine or 6 months in prison for one charge and a $1,000 fine for another, you know, and yet we've paid four times that in legal fees, and the mental and the economic and the stress cost has been off planet, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd probably be about $175,000 a pop if we were to look at compensation in any fair capacity for what we've suffered and what we've had to pay and what we've had to endure. $175,000 in compensation each doesn't sound terribly unreasonable, because it's over a year of income that's been affected in my case.
Oh yeah, no, it's been wicked. You know, I mean, you know, the fact is that we've been shadow banned. You've lost channels. I've lost channels. I mean, I only had a few thousand on my channel as subscribers. You had almost 60,000 on yours. You know, I've been shadow banned. I've got dear friends who follow me on Facebook who can't find me now. They can't. They're certainly not getting notification. And so it's horrible. It truly is. It's horrible. And you know, what do you say?
Well, it's kind of demeaning, really. I mean, if they just sat us down and said, da, 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 you know, that kind of thing, everything would have been sweet. We could have sorted it in an hour. But because we've left it to the legal system, it's been over a year. What was it? August was 8 months. So what are we talking about now? Like it's been nearly 18 months already. And there's a possibility that we're not going to be let go tomorrow and be declared not guilty, which means it's going to run into next year, a few more months of bail conditions not being able to encourage people to breach COVID-19 rules. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm scared of even broaching the subject of this kind of thing anymore because of the threat, the absolute threat of censorship and deplatforming is very real, and people have bought this narrative in many of them jab, line, and sinker. And they are watching our channels, they are watching our videos, they're making little clips from them, they're reporting us, and so on and so forth. What is it that we are saying that is so terrible that we shouldn't be allowed to speak? Because the old saying goes is that when you try to cut out a man's tongue, it's because you fear what he might say.
You are. That's typically how they operate. Now, with the, in fact, this is another kind of strange irony. With that declaration on the 31st of October and the announcement of the Know the Science campaign, which is a citizen informer campaign launched by the New Zealand government, in particular by the New Zealand Security Intelligence Service. It's about identifying people who have created a us versus them ideology or mentality. But the irony of it is they're saying that, you know, these are people who may have misinterpreted COVID-19 laws and rules as being anti-human rights and things. How can you misinterpret what we've been going through? How can you misinterpret that? You can't misinterpret it. It is our human rights and Bill of Rights that are being challenged there. There's no two ways about it. And this is why this is such a dangerous New Zealand government that we have here. This is unprecedented. Now, I was talking to James Corbett yesterday from the Corbett report, and he was just saying, you know, man, you know, New Zealand is right up the front of the handing out of the tyranny lollies. We are right up the front with that. And you know, there's no, you mean, I didn't wake up one morning and go, right, I want to put my neck out on the line. I want to become a pariah of New Zealand. I want to put myself and my whānau at risk. I want to be slandered from east to west. I want to receive death threats. I want to lose my home that we loved. I want to lose all my brand ambassadorships. I want to lose my career and speak up against the government. I didn't wake up and do that because I thought it was a neat, warm and fuzzy, fancy idea that was going to make me money. I was doing very well, quite nicely, thank you very much, on my own, and had a what I thought was a good life. I tell you one thing I am grateful for, I'm a lot closer to the Lord now than I was then. But, you know, you don't do that because you know, what you believe in is a vapor. It's a real issue that we're facing here, and that's why I'm loving the River of Lies in New Zealand Scandemic, because it's going to take that that pretend ethereal, non-existent worry, and it's going to give it body, and it's going to give it substance. We're going to give it facts, and we're going to give it science. We're going to give it expert and testimony. We're going to witness testimony. And really, you know, I think they probably know this because they watch everything. We were followed. We were followed in Wellington by a policeman on a motorbike after we'd been to Parliament. All sorts of strange things. But, you know, whatever happens, Vinny, this is going to get exposed. No two ways about it.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like what happens when you really try and kick someone in the teeth who just won't go down. You just make them more dangerous. Mm. And if the danger that we posed was we were giving people hope, that not everybody was a fool and just got easily fooled and wouldn't question everything. If the danger that we posed is that we were exposing the blatant lies that these authoritarian goons have been broadcasting to people, they've simply made us more dangerous with this. They've given us even more reason to do what we're doing and to do it even harder. And now, thanks to their heavy-handedness, we've now got an even bigger platform to stand on, because they've done this to us. Nobody can argue with it. These are the facts. And now they've exposed themselves as being fascistic, which is precisely what I said to you before we got arrested, that there's an old saying, Billy, if you want to expose a fascist, make them act like it. And they have indeed, and they've given us all the ammunition we need to be able to show people that they are exactly what we've been telling everybody they are.
All right, I'll tell you, I want to change the angle on this conversation about our court appearance tomorrow. Do you think we will have any significant alternative media there tomorrow to film us?
Nope.
Isn't that amazing? Truly amazing. I had Liz Gunn tell lies about me the other week. We exposed that. Clear evidence proved that Liz Gunn is a liar. I'm prepared to say that out loud. And so was Farmer Brown, or what's his name? I always call him Farmer Brown. Whatever his name, the farmer guy, said I'm a millionaire Freemason, who's friends with Justin Trudeau. I mean, as soon as people talk like that, people have got to look at it and go, these guys, you know, this is a disaffected person. Because anyone who spent any time with me and been on my journey for the last 50 years knows I'm no blinking Freemason. I preach against it. We teach against it, and all that. But, you know, I'm not, you know, this is amazing. You know, you got rung up by a counterspin the other day. They're wanting your, just out of the blue, want your camera to use it for an event they were having. And you mentioned that we're going to court. Are they going to be there?
And they said they'd think about it. And so they might be there, but at the same time, I think they're doing their own constitutional conference with truth people and things like that at the exact same time that we're having our court case. So I'm pretty sure they'll be doing that instead. Now, that being said, after we did get arrested, they did indeed do a big special on the whole day of arrests for everybody. Rebecca informs me that they were doing a whole show about what happened to you and me that day. So, you know, credit where credit is due. Yep. And let's face facts here. Counterspin have been doing a bang up job giving coverage to all the people around New Zealand that truly deserve it at this terrible time in tyranny. And you know, whatever personal disagreements and things like that people have within the truth movement, I feel it's best to kind of keep those things off air and private, because I know that there's kind of like this mentality that, hey, look, if somebody's not an honest person and you get ordinary members of the public who are decent people, they project their decency and their own personal honesty onto these people who are talking to them, that kind of thing. And they think they'd never do such a thing like that. They'd never treat people harshly or whatever. Just to inform you guys, if you are listening, if you are watching, if you trust me and Billy and that kind of thing, there's no real reason why you shouldn't. But this is an industry. Okay, the truth production industry. It's not a very profitable industry, okay, and it's not one that fills you full of acclaim and big headlines that are great for your character and your reputation. But it is an industry, and like every industry, there are good, decent people in it, and there are not so good, not so decent people in it. And unless you really know people personally and speak to the people that they've worked with and that kind of thing, it's very, very difficult to get a real perspective on who somebody really is. And that's one point. And the other point is, if what they are putting out publicly is in fact truthful, is in fact evidence-based, do we gain or do we lose as a movement in itself by pointing fingers at them and expressing our personal grievances with them? Or should it be kind of like a military intelligence operation where you keep people uninformed for their own sake, just for the sake of the cause? Now, these are just thoughts that I've had.
I'm not sure which
way to proceed. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is where you and I differ, because as a Christian, I demand integrity. I demand it of myself more than anyone will ever know of. Man, this is why facing charges for anything to do with, like, you look at the Electoral Commission charges I'm facing, they're making out that I was dishonest with $15,000. I wouldn't be dishonest with 15 cents. And because you and I have spoken about that many a times, I don't want it on my conscience. If I can't, you know, I mean, I even had the outdoors party say I stole $5,000 of someone recently and posted it on their Facebook page. And, you know, just, you know, what gives with that? And I'm this is where you and I do part company, is that I demand, if this is what I've seen in 2.9 years, I've seen I've seen something that you began that wasn't an industry. It was just you doing it. If you want to call yourself a one man industry, you can, but you were the first, you did it. But what we've seen now, we've seen the industrialization of the freedom and truth movement. Now, I came along after I had heard Simon Thornley speak, Professor Simon Thornley. I had John Ioannidis, and these men inspired me to speak up. But it was a lonely playing field. Other than yourself, I didn't know anyone else that was trying to do it. There were a couple other people kind of doing things, but they'd start trying to build in the Palladians in their discussions, and that's where they lost people, right? And but I stayed the straight and narrow path, and I spoke it. I didn't speak my truth. I spoke the truth. And that's what I want to demand from people. If they're in the truth movement, speak the truth. Don't speak their truth. And, you know, the standards that I'm seeking here aren't my standards. They're God's standards that I want to adhere to. And if they make me look like a geek, then so be it. I have no problems with doing that. But when you have, when the way that I look at, if someone brutally treats you and speaks about you and your character in a public way, then the biblical way about it is that you confront it publicly. If you cannot see the person privately, you have to do it that way, because the Bible says if you offend your brother or if he offends you, you go and see him privately and you try and work it out. If that doesn't work, you go back with two witnesses and you talk about it. If that doesn't work, you go public. And unfortunately, we don't have those processes in place. People just go public, and hey presto, I had I had Liz saying that I was really weird and I was a bully and all this stuff on a conversation I had with her, and I've got all the texts from that, which proved that was an utter lie. And then you got Farmer Brown saying that I was definitely a millionaire Freemason, a friend of Trudeau's, because of that weak handshake that Trudeau gave me when I was at an Indigenous function in Ottawa. And then it just goes on to that controlled opposition stuff. And I'm afraid my patience has gone very, very low on it, Vinny. It has, because, you know, funny enough, you know, when Calvin and Hannah got arrested, I went straight to air and I spoke about it, horrified about it, sent my support, tried to find out how to reach out to them, and tried to speak to them. I've spoken to you about it as well. But there is absolutely no reciprocal behavior at all from anyone. And what I put it down to myself personally is that, you know, I'm not saying this to blow smoke up your nose, but, you know, you were the first to do this. You broke all of the barriers to alternative media. You established it as a thing. I came along as the Johnny Come Lately in 2020, and I was a Johnny Come Lately, and came along, and what I said went viral, and it went bigger than anything, and nothing's come close to that. Nothing. I mean, I could brush my teeth and get 240,000 views on Facebook, and I had a bigger Facebook audience, membership and audience than Ardern. And 2 months into it, you know, I was what happened? I got voted the third preferred Prime Minister in a Cormac Brunton news poll. And by the end of July, beginning of August, sorry, I had about 5.5 million people through my messaging. And so I think what it is here, and I don't know why, because I've got nothing to be envious of. I think there's just people think by pulling me down, especially, that they're going to gain some equity out of it.
Well, and there is, on that point, you know how I discovered Alex Jones? I was really into Michael Moore, the left-wing filmmaker. Loved his books, loved his documentaries, you know, that kind of thing. And then I was running around on YouTube and I saw this guy, Alex Jones, like at a window, like expressing so much hate about Michael Moore. And I was like, who is this guy? And I go in and I start, and then I became like an Alex Jones fan for a bit. And until I decided, you know, is there an Alex Jones of New Zealand? No, there isn't. Okay, I'll go out there and do it myself. And then I got picked up by Alex Jones's former producer, mentored by his former sit-in host, and interviewed his former guests. All right? And they told me things about him. All right? Things I'm not necessarily going to repeat on air, but I have said so in the past. And, yeah, behind the scenes on everything that goes on, there's I don't know, to use Mr. Wood's wonderful line, a river of filth running through the truth movement, man. So, you know, if you think anybody's broadcasting the truth and that they're holier than thou just because they're broadcasting the truth, just have a look at who they really are, talk to the people who know them, and that kind of thing if you really want to find out. But other than that, I don't know about things, because I have exposed people in the truth movement before, and it caused me a heck of a lot of really painful stress. And because there's so many people to expose who would come out at you and attack you and stuff like that, and because New Zealand's a very small place, I just think that tactically it might be a thing to be doing better in terms of evidence, stacked evidence. Like when I came out against Pete Santilli, for example, I made a 14-minute documentary about his entire life and the ruinous scams that he'd run on people. Whereas if you just come and you say, this person did this, this person did that, and you're not actually running through it in an evidentiary pattern, people don't get it. They think it's all just he said, she said, sort of hearsay, and they tune out. All right, and I've experienced this with many people, so I kind of keep my personal conflicts personal until, of course, they do get made public.
Oh, absolutely. That's a thing, and that's the sad thing about it, is that I never that thing with Liz that happened where she booked me for appointments and got me to come down from up north to meet with her and then didn't follow through, was about the third, fourth time that she just didn't follow through with the things that she said she would. Now, I kept that quiet. I didn't say anything about it. I only said it to, like, maybe you and someone in my immediate inner circle that I work with to say, what's wrong with Liz? You know, why has she done this? She knows I live up north. We've got no money. I had to get a motel to stay the night to meet her. And then she lets me know late last night and that it could still be on. And then texts me at 12:30 the next day saying, oh, well, you know, I can meet, but too late, bottle locks. And I was already halfway home, 4 hours up north. I guess the thing is that the freedom and truth movement, in my view, it's really been industrialized and corporatized. We don't look at each other the way we should as compatriots. We don't look at each other as brothers and sisters in arms. Like I did in 2020, I thought everybody was a brother and a sister. I didn't distrust anyone. I was so naive.
That was precisely how I went into it when I got into the American Truth Movement in 2010 on American Freedom Radio. And yeah, you sooner or later, you find out that it's just like, it's an industry just like any other.
But the thing is this, though, Vinny, is that when I got into it, the only industry player was you. Really, there may have been one or two other people, I don't know, but you're the only one that I was aware of. And but now it's become a virtual cottage industry of people that are taking the very, very top layer of issues and reporting on them. And that's the point I made in front of Liz a few weeks ago at the Brenton Faithful event, is that I'm not here just to report the news for the sake of reporting the news. There are much deeper prescient issues than just being seen to present the news. This is not the 6 o'clock news level importance of importance. This is all important what's happening to us, because I believe it's these are indicators that are telling us that the end is nigh, that the Lord is coming, and that we all must get our hearts and lives ready for what is ahead. There, I mean, even today in my research that I'm doing, it's the stuff that's being planned, that is not only being planned, but it's ready to go. New Zealand, New Zealanders, we have no idea. They're saying now that this economic crash is going to hit in 2023. Now, when in 2023, the signals aren't saying, but they're saying it's just a matter of time. You look at the cash rate today; it was hiked up 75 base points today to 4.25 interest. Now that's going to stuff up a lot of mortgages. I got my sides done at the barber's today, and the lady that owns the barber's, she was I always talked to her about it, and she said that she doesn't know what she's going to do. The Auckland rates have gone up, well, threatening to go up another 12.5%. Wayne Brown's already said it. That's already gone up 10% in June. That'll mean in a year it's gone up 22.5% if it comes through. Plus you've got the the official cash rate, and you've got the mortgage rates that are being affected. These are really serious times, and yet you combine that with the artificially generated energy, food chain supplies, in terms of from production to market, which they're saying, and then the global energy shortage, the war on Russia, which is, I'm really worried for our northern hemisphere whānau, because of what's coming out of the pipeline. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, you had one of the British cabinet ministers the other day saying that they're giving away literally millions and millions of pounds of taxpayer money to imaginary immigrants that are coming over to join British society when they can't take care of their own people. What's happening is they're picking people up from the shores of Britain and taking them to flash motels and banging them in there and then getting them on welfare and then putting them ahead of British citizens. Now, and then while their own people are on their knees, they stand there and say, well, British have got big hearts, and but the fact is people are having heart attacks because they're worried about how they're going to survive the coming winter. And so, if we can extrapolate a picture from that and imprint that across what that may look like across the globe, then, we're in big trouble. Now, Nails Thompson has just posted something and saying that Three Waters has just passed in Parliament.
That's bad news, man.
It's bad news.
Everybody knows that when you give somebody else control over the things that are essential for your life, your freedom is kind of gone at that point. Just gone.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yvonne saying, I remember you, Vinny, you were the only New Zealander broadcasting all this stuff on YouTube. And you were. I remember watching you probably about, 8 years ago. And, I remember laughing my head off thinking, man, this guy is just awesome. He's out there challenging everybody and doing the whole thing. And it's unreal. So thanks for sharing that. Now, I appreciate that a great deal. So, this whole Three Waters program, they've ignored the wishes of local government and councils across New Zealand. But I will never forget this. When I went during the election campaign in 2020, I went down to meet all of the Deep Southland constituents down there. And while I was down there, I got to meet with Mayor Tim Shadbolt and his deputy Tony. And they both sent me down there, and they said to me back then that they had government officials come down from Wellington. They're putting the pressure on Tim and Tony to agree to sign over the management rights of water to Wellington Central. and they were promising money and funding and all this and the rest of it. But when pressed, they admitted to Mayor Tim and Tony that what they were wanting was to centralise all of the water infrastructure of New Zealand, then pass it on to a private management company to look after it. Now, that's what they did in Bolivia. It's exactly what they did in Bolivia, and that caused a water civil war, a water war rather, and it was vicious. It was vicious, the Bolivian water war. And, you know, and that's what they're going to do again. It's exactly what they're going to do again here. There's just no doubt about it. And actually, the Bolivia Water Privatization Civil War is what it was called, was between 1999 and 2000. Now, I'm going to show you guys something, and let's turn our cameras on. And this is going to be something different to look at. And I'm just going to try this. Let's see if we can go here, and we're going to go here. All right. Now, this is for my eyes only, actually. I'm going to share something with you guys because there's only 100 or 105 of us online. I'm going to share this with you. Now, this here is, let's see if I can bring it down a bit. There we go. This here is my intelligence mind map. All right. This is how you work things out, whānau. And over here, you'll see I've got the Bolivia Water Privatization Civil War, 1999 to 2000. And that's connected to World Bank, IMF, Bank of International Settlements, and International Finances. And this is, of course, all tied into the global NGOs, UN, WHO, World Economic Forum, Gates Foundation, Chatham House, and the others. And they're all connected. And the point, the reason why I'm showing this is to let you know that There is a connection to all of it. Three Waters is connected to the overall Agenda 2030 program, which is connected to the, which is the governing program for the fourth industrial revolution. And this is all happening. And that's why in 2020, I knew what was coming, because once you understand, and I'll say this out loud, Bible prophecy and understand the UN, it's got, and Rosa Corey, who you knew well, God rest her soul, she knew all about this as well. You know, if you read the material, especially Behind the Green Mask, you will see that this is about water, this is about food infrastructure, every type of infrastructure that a human needs to survive. And they've mapped it, they've graded it, they've put it into a grid and a schedule, an inventory program, and that's what's coming. And that is why it's so clear that Ardern is crook. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's one conspiracy. That's what Rosa told me, is that there's actually only one conspiracy, and it's Agenda 21, because it hooks into absolutely everything.
Everything.
You know? Are you planning to drink today, Agenda 21? Are you planning to eat today, Agenda 21? Are you planning to sleep inside today, Agenda 21? You plan to use electricity, Agenda 21? You plan to use a car, Agenda 21? Okay, every single aspect of all life will be 100% centrally controlled. Now, there was an old story about a Roman emperor who hears tell of a book that can tell the future. And he spent a lot of men's lives and a lot of gold to locate this book, but locate it he did. And he was very shocked by what he saw when he opened it. It predicted a great grain shortage in Rome. So in his haste to avoid this future, he constructed a great central granary, and he confiscated grain off of everybody throughout the empire and stocked it all in there. Now, because it was built really hastily, though, this great grain silo, some water got in and rotted the grain, and a massive frickin' famine occurred. Now, the moral of the story, I thought, was only one moral of the story, but Dr. Rima Labo, who exposed the Codex Alimentarius and has written a book about Agenda 21 of herself, showed me the second meaning of this. Meaning number one, sometimes the route that you take to avoid a future that you don't want is exactly the route you need to take in order for that future to manifest. Moral lesson number two, don't centralize. Okay? It was because he took everybody's grain, it's because he tried to centralize the problem, that it actually became a problem. Whereas if everybody had their own grain, it wouldn't have rotted. There wouldn't have been a famine. All right? See, this is the way the world truly works, is that when you centralize, you weaken.
Absolutely. Hey, I just want to point, Medikara just said something, and this is absolutely true. All roads lead to Rome. Watch the downfall of dominoes that will drop at our feet. And you're absolutely right, Medikara, because it does. All these roads lead back to Rome, all of it, whether you're talking about the UN, whether you're talking about WEF, whether you're talking about climate change, all of it goes back to Rome. And again, I'm not having to go at it. Catholics, my whānau on my mum's side, are all Catholic. It's nothing like that at all. It's about the system that we're speaking about. I mean, even that, Vinny, even talking about something around religiosity is frowned upon. And yet the Bible demands that as a minister of the Lord, I talk about it. Rome is the birthplace of the Babylonian system as we know it today. It's the beast system of Revelation 13. And this chapter of the Bible tells us that it will eventually, this beast system, control everything, that if you do not obey it and worship in its system the way it tells you to, you will not be able to buy or sell. Now, a couple of days ago, let's have a look at this. Now, a couple of days ago, I looked at this with everybody. Now, I'm just going to bring that down a wee bit. Now, this is the 15th of November. COVID-19 plan to restore MIQ. This is how they work. And I really do feel I've got a good grasp on how they do things, mate. And that is, they use the media to try and covertly plant messages and announcements in the media in such a way that not everybody picks it up. But if they're called about it later on, they can say, well, what do you mean we did this in a sneaky fashion? We spoke about it on the 15th of November. Now, strangely enough, we've got this foreign agent.
One second, Billy. To the audience in Billy's chat room, can you tell me whether or not his voice seems doubled up and echoey? If so, Billy, you just need to mute the mic aux on your thing. But we'll find that out in a minute. Sorry, there was one dude who...
Hold on a second.
No. It's the mic aux in there. Underneath audio mixer in OBS.
Oh, in OBS. Hold on, let's check that. What about that one? Is that mic aux?
Yeah, because like when you talk, desktop audio goes and mic aux goes as well. So you might as well just mute mic aux. Just use the little speaker symbol there. Just click it.
Where's that speaker
symbol?
See
where mic aux is and where it's going? There's a little speaker symbol right next to it.
This way?
Right at the end of the volume bar of it, next to the wheel.
Sorry, mate, I can't see it. Hold on.
You see the little grey wheels?
Yeah, and the little one.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Is that better? So, yes. All right, so that should have solved the problem. Oh. See, Vinnie Eastwood, the tech support to the stars.
You are blinking. This is what I used to get so upset, mate, when we weren't allowed to talk. I'd be doing liveies and something would go wrong. I'd go, I can't ring my brother Vinnie to fix this for me. So thank you. Now, Mark Dolder. Mark Dalder is a foreign agent working in New Zealand media here. And boy, have we got some juicy stuff on that guy. Now, Mark Dalder is American. He's the son of a long-term deep state bureaucrat slash diplomat, right? And he's over here. He during the 2020 campaign, he was always sitting on Jacinda Ardern's shoulder, like big time. Not little time, big time. Now, he's got this article that he's written here, COVID-19 plan to restore MIQ if needed. So this is the first announcement, right? And they're preparing us, of course. They're doing other things like telling us, you know, here we go, 4,000 cases, and they just go on and on and on, and they're building up the argument. Now, look at this, what's just come out. This was on the 19th of November, and this article is an absolute doozy. I'll bring that down a wee bit. So Jacinda Ardern partners with Bill Gates to roll out digital IDs. Now, what did we just read in Mark Dalder's article there was saying that they prepared the MIQ hotels. There's seven of them ready to go. And look at this. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has partnered with Bill Gates to surreptitiously roll out digital IDs across the country. The country's managed isolation and quarantine government program that during the pandemic operated by keeping records manually is now switching to JNCTM-produced software tools that will serve as digital ID verification for the MIQ staff. ReclaimTheNet.org reports, going forward, the quarantine program employees will have their certification, clearances, training, etc., tracked in this way, appropriate to the environment they are in, so-called. The importance of the move to a digital ID wallet, don't forget central bank digital currency e-wallet, is particularly pronounced since MIQ was one of the key components in New Zealand's rigid and often radical manner of dealing with COVID. It was radical, all right. Not only that, but the approach of the problem reflected in a massive operation during that the pandemic that involved more than 14,000 people and 650 organizations in running MIQ facilities. The government agency behind MIQ, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, now that's weird, anyway, was in charge of making sure that MIQ border workers complied at all times. And now, once again, convenience is being mentioned as a key reason to switch to digital IDs. But listen to this. Enter the digital wallet. It depends on Microsoft Azure's cloud service. Now, who remembers in 2020, during the campaign, when I was letting everybody know that Ardern had facilitated, in one way or another, Microsoft getting contracts in New Zealand during the pandemic period to upgrade New Zealand's cloud system, data cloud system. Who remembers that? Anyone out there? If you've got a good memory, you'll know it. But anyway, long story cut short, this is all about control, and it's going to be rolled out across the country. And so I found that a very, very fascinating article to be sent to me today, and read it with absolute, this is not hard to see. Now, the question we've got to ask ourselves, and that needs to be answered, is why are they doing this? How are they doing this? And what are the ramifications to our privacy, Vinny?
Well, it's a big question, essentially, because do we have any privacy at all, just in general? I would say that in general, we kind of don't, because of the sheer reason that the vast majority of privacy is being subverted by a digital data mining, right? For example, this was known when Edward Snowden came out and said that the CIA is building back doors into everybody's digital landscape and ISP providers and things of that nature, so that they can openly surveil people. And with that PRISM program that they had, there's actually a specific protocol for it to deliberately go after people who are attempting to hide from it. So anybody who's on Proton Mail or using Brave Browser, or any other methodology that you think is concealing you from these digital snoops, it's actually, in fact, painting a target on your back. Now, these are not my words. This is Edward Snowden, the guy who was involved in actually building this apparatus for the Central Intelligence Agency, the NSA, and so on and so forth. And of course, because of Project Echelon, New Zealand's been locked in with the Five Eyes network for a long time, sharing information and things of that nature. So here's how it works. We have a plan, and what it means is we're going to start doing it. And after we've been doing it for a really long time, When it becomes so obvious that everybody knows it anyway, then we'll announce that we're doing it. And then we can take it to another step that we've also been working on for 10 or so years anyway. So what you're doing is you're getting progressively worse without announcements, and then by the time you get an announcement of how bad things were, it's already gotten worse, and another announcement is on the way. So the question is, are you going to be having that kind of Brave New World dystopian sci-fi life soon enough, where they will be telling you what to do all day, every day, much like the social credit system in China? Chang walks across the street and he's just heard a bit of news about the CCP, and he mumbles to himself, "Oh, bloody CCP." And then a little text comes up on his phone that says, "You're speaking bad about the CCP! You're not going to be able to come home tonight." And he's not able to come home tonight. And if he complains again, they're going to turn his bank accounts off. All right? That's what's going to happen here if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant, if we're sheepish. And, you know, far be it from me to be terribly confident and say that New Zealanders aren't sheepish. You know, I've seen a lot of evidence of good, strong, decent people in this country, but I've seen a lot more evidence of weak, manipulatable, and vengeful and denial-filled people that are immoral at their core in this country. I would say that they are the majority.
Isn't it sad to say we used to be a nation of number eight wire fix-it specialists, people who could think clearly, who would fight for the right men, that would be men, not emasculated, demasculated, soppy individuals, you know, 21-year-old young men that cry because you're not using the right pronouns. You know, I mean, this has got to be spoken about. I mean, you know, 21, jeepers, you know, there were 19-year-old young men, boys, jumping off the landing craft in Normandy during D-Day landings that were going home in boxes, if they got to go home in a box and weren't buried there on the shores of Normandy, and or missing an arm, missing a leg, missing two legs. And we've got that. That's the New Zealand that they've cultured into place now. I mean, you know, truly, you know, I'll tell you something. We homeschool our little kids, as you know, and our kids and the other homeschool kids that we know, they're all pretty similar. They're smart, they're healthy, they're cheeky as anything, but they can think for themselves, and they're smart and they're savvy. They're not isolated and insulated kids. They can work things out for themselves. And you know, they're going to grow up questioning things that doesn't feel right to them. But you ask these kids, I mean, I was speaking about it last night in my Telegram show, in my show the other night, was that, you know, if you look at climate change, why do you think Labor wants to get the voting age down to 16 now? It's for one reason why only, is because they have done a successful job of indoctrinating even more so over the last, what are we looking at, 5 years now. You know, and it began.
Was it you? Was it you who told me that certain kids were getting homework assignments to write a letter to, quote, Auntie Jacinda, saying how much they love her for saving them from COVID? Was it you that told me that?
Yes, it was. And not only that, you're getting the school teachers that are writing essays in front of the class about why they love Jacinda Ardern. And that's filtering up. So you capture the you know, the little kids, they speak to their brother and sister who's at college and, you know, is getting told all about climate change hysteria. They go out and the only party they see pushing climate change hysteria is either the Green Party or the Labor Party. And so if they can get that voting age down to 16, it's these, you know, these programmed, propagandized children that they're going to capture into the voting sector. And who do you think they're going to vote for? You know, so this is absolute Marxism. Now, that's a good segue into this final topic I want to go into before we say goodnight, is that there has been a covert, well, very quiet constitutional hui at Auckland University over the last few days. what they've done is this is Auckland University again, who doesn't believe in rights and freedoms, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Pfizer. They've got Te Punaha Matatini with Sean Hendy, Susie Wiles, Auckland University, the woke university of New Zealand, probably first equal to Otago, and Waikato University. Now, they've been having a constitutional meeting amongst so-called iwi leaders at this thing. Now, the problem is this. You had Ngāia Mahuta, you had all these other government Māoris that were turning up, doing a big fat mihi, and talking about, you know, getting over the colonisation or post-colonisation hangover and all this stuff, right? Using all this flowery language. Now, the whole pretense of this meeting is that they want to decide the constitutional future of New Zealand, but they're talking about he puapua. Now, any Māori who knows anything about he wakaputanga 1835 knows that it is, and there are more Pākehā people in the he wakaputanga movement than there are Māori people, just about. And some of them will be watching this tonight. And 1835 document, he wakaputanga Declaration of Independence, is the foundation document for our country here. Signed originally by Chiefs up in Te Taitokero, later on signed in 1836-1839 by representatives of Tau Iwi Irunga, which is the southern tribes, and our King Putatau Te Whiriwhiri was a signatory of that. I'm on my Tainui side, and on the Kahununu side that I also come from, we have the Hapoku Rangatira. He signed it as well. And this is a document that's now gone all around New Zealand, and a lot of tribes have signed it. Now, the whole thing about he wakaputanga that makes it such an agreeable document is that in Article 4, it says that all non-Māori will be adopted, ensconced, traded with, protected, looked after, just integrated, whatever you want to call it, but loved whanaungatanga, manaakitanga, all that with our non-Māori family, right? And it was an all-embracive, and there was no distinction in terms of rights for non-Māori citizens and all that and the rest of it. Now, that's not an apartheid system. That's a traditional system that recognises the sovereignty of non-Māori people. Great, fantastic. But he puapua, which is an outcome really of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which is a UN convention, which is a scam. It's a Trojan horse to get Indigenous people around the world to support Agenda 2030. That's all it is. It's bottom line is that's what it comes down to. Now, our government Māoris, and I'm not saying Māori, I'm saying Māoris for purpose here, they've picked this up, and they're either completely ignorant of tikanga and what the criminality behind the UN. They're either completely uneducated and ignorant, or they're paid out, right? So these are your two choices. I'll let you pick which one you think fits the shape. But you had them all at this hui yesterday and the day before, speaking about the future of New Zealand Aotearoa in light of he puapua and post-colonisation. Now, what happened was the tickets were $1,000 each, Vinny. How many Māori can you think can afford to go there with those Māoris? Not many. But a couple of my mates did. One of them was Tangaroa Naropo from up north. He went in and he gatecrashed it and did a beautiful mihi and had them on and said, hey, how can you guys even have a talk about the constitutional future and the framework of New Zealand with he puapua when you haven't facilitated he wakaputanga, which is about all New Zealanders, not just Māori, all of us. And that really threw, I'll use this terminology, a turd in the hangi pack. And he stood up there and a couple of other rangatira stood up and they spoke and blew it all away. But the problem is this, is that they are using Marxism, this Marxist strategy, for two reasons. And I want people to dial in on this so you can be clear. You can be clear on this. They are using the Māori culture and our and they're not even using tikanga, but they're using a pretend and fake tikanga to introduce globalism, right? They've paid off and funded a segment of elite Māori within New Zealand. That's can't be, you can't be ignoring that. That's the truth of it. And they've done that. They've got these people in there. They're using our culture to try and put in this pretense of he pua pua in the United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples and so on and so forth. At the same time, they're telling Māori that this is a good thing, but they're hiding the jurisdiction and the truth and the reality of he waka putanga. Now, the other thing they're wanting to achieve out of this, right? So they're trying to win the Indigenous support for this, but the fact is they haven't got the mandate to do that from Māoridom. And Māoridom is all about mandates, consensus, not one or. And so that's one thing they're doing. But on the second tier of objectives is to create racial division in our country. They're trying to put Māori against Pākehā, Pākehā against Māori, so that we all go back to where we were 50 years ago and where there may have been racial friction. Now, that's where they're wanting to go. Why do they want that? Because they know that if you can separate the people, you can conquer the people. And that's what they're doing. And a shame on you, University of Auckland. Shame on you. Shame on you, Nanaia Mahuta, whose tupuna Putato Te Whiriwhiriro signed that he waka putanga document. Shame on her. Shame on those other Māoris trying to pretend they've got a mandate from Tiwi Māori when they haven't. They haven't taken it back to the Congress of United Tribes, the Waka Meninga. So I just wanted everybody to know that's been happening the last few days, and some of our brave rangatira from Ngāpuhi have been down there to confront this, but it's been very sneakily done, Vinny.
Yeah.
Sneaky.
I mean, you know, like I say, there's two types of Māori. There's the Billy T. James type Māori and the Hone Harawira type Māori. One of them doesn't take themselves too seriously and can have a joke at their own expense, and the other one takes themselves far too seriously. And this is what we've got now, is I think that people who aren't really in the practice of letting go of their denial, you know, are you denying who you are in any way, shape or form? If you are, stop it, okay? Because your denial is causing you pain. And when you stop denying and you start telling the truth, it might cause you a bit more pain, but it's going to start to order the chaos. I remember Billy T. James making all sorts of jokes and things like that and bringing people closer together as a country. And nowadays, if you try to make any kind of a slur or joke or something like that, you're all of a sudden a racist, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic, white, heterosexual male Nazi. Okay, that's just what happens now. And you know, so I've come up with a few jokes that are you know, fairly clean. How does a Māori elder get their vehicle started in the morning, Billy?
Hoa. Don't know.
With a karakia.
You know, it's so funny, actually. I just, speaking of karakia, I just sent my mate, a good Pākehā, a friend of mine, some karakia just yesterday. He's going to start saying karakia in his council hui and things like that he goes to. But, my videographer just said that she slipped down the front of her house and got hurt today. I'll be ringing her after this. No, this is what I mean. This is not a left and a right issue. This is not a Māori, non-Māori, English, African issue. This is a human race issue. And the evil one is working to segregate us, have us all fighting each other. And this is, and I guess really to go back this thing with the freedom fighting and truth movement, Vinny, is that I was, and you know how genuine I was about this, I begged everybody to work together. Everybody said I just wanted to be the number one head honcho and I wouldn't be a co-leader. Next minute, I'm in a co-leader arrangement with two other co-leaders, Jamie Lee and Michael. And we're still no closer to people working together today in the freedom and truth movement. And that's the shame of it. I was talking about this very thing with someone very well known in the freedom movement the other day, and they've had a guts fall. They're ready to close the curtains on it. And that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, people can't, people shouldn't be looking to you or me, or any so-called freedom leader for a lead, for to show them the way. They have to do their own research. They have to look at evidence, do the research. Anything we say ourselves, Vinny, you and I, to our audiences, we have to encourage the people to do their own research, to fact check us. It's not insulting us. It's due diligence. Go and do it. Fact check it. If we get something wrong, let us know. Because if we don't know and we've made a mistake, we can't see it, then let us know so we can fix it. And that's the way of it. And that's the way it should be. But in terms of the nuance within the Freedom and Truth movement, it's very disturbing to see what's going on. I would love to, if I saw Hannah and Calvin there tomorrow, I'd be the first to go up and welcome them both and give them big hugs and see them. I'd be thrilled. But the thing is, you know, everybody's really quick to hand out insults, and I've had it for years now, for a couple of years now, and I'm over it being the punching bag for people. I really am. I'm really over it. And what I think we all need to do is to link arms and sing Kumbaya together, because we need each other. We really do. The only way that we're going to get through this together with God is, or just putting God over here for a second, is for us to drop our pettiness and work together. That's why I speak out, because I'm frustrated as heck to see that all of the freedom fighters still haven't matured to understand what it is we're dealing. Everybody thinks it's a pathway to parliament issue, or getting bigger audiences so you can make more money, or create a brand building business like Voices for Freedom have done. You know, this is survival. This is our survival, both spiritually and physically, and, you know, and how our kids are either going to live in freedom or die an eternal death in chains. You know, to me, this is brutally, brutally important, these issues, and we're not acting like grown-ups about it, Vinny, in my humble opinion.
No, and I think it's because everybody is a child if they think that government is going to save them. Okay, look, you're dealing with a cult-indoctrinated population, ostensibly. They are indoctrinated from birth to believe that government is a good thing, that it's necessary, and what have you. Government, from the Latin, from governe and mente, means mind control, okay? It's brainwashing you to make you think that its parasitical existence is the reason for your existence, when the reality is government is and always has been a form of slavery. You can have governance, but not a government, without slavery of some form or another. And the entire institutional idea of centralized authority is basically an affront. Because, you know, the kingdom of God lives within us all. It's not something that is ruled by a king, that we have to obey every command.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is, this is the thing, Vinny. What you've just said just then is actually completely opposite to what's in the Bible. But what the essence of what you're saying is true, though, is that freedom of choice is what distinguishes us as a sovereign human being. And God gave us that. And that's the basis I operate on. And for me, you know, there is a king that has commandments. He wrote them with his finger in stone. And they are the rule of the universe for which we are to live by. Every king, every good king, has good laws to govern his kingdom. And this is the King of Kings. And his law is beautiful, it's right, it's just. And it's what if we all lived by, we'd be in a beautiful situation today, but we're not. But the thing that God gave us, and which is what I always remember, and this is what Medikata was just saying. Let me make sure I got your name. Medikata, yeah, was just saying about the rainbow community. And that is that I've got rainbow friends. Amy Benjamin is a dear friend of mine. She's a rainbow community person. And she knows my thoughts on it. She shares a lot of my thoughts, in fact. She agrees with me that kids should not be indoctrinated by rainbow ideology at all. She's dead against it. And she's a gay female. And And that's her. Do I judge her for that? No, I judge her with the way that she relates to me and our relationship. And I love her dearly. I don't support her sexual choice and her lifestyle that way, but I love her. Would I protect her? You bet your life on it. And it's up to God to judge that person, just like you're going to be judged, just like I'm going to be judged. And, but what we can do is observe the behavior and go, well, that's indecent, or that's not right, or what have you. And the real thing about biblical Christianity is that it's all about choice. The moment you force any human to do something of a spiritual religious nature, it's nothing less than the spiritual rape of a soul. And by forcing somebody into a spiritual doctrine is nothing more less than creating a form of false pretension where the essence is not there, but there's an outward appearance of living a doctrine and accepting it because you're forced to. Now, what we're going into now, which is biblical, is that the world's being forced to accept a new religion. That religion is the ideology and religion of climate change. And it's that's going to be our big problem. ID 2020, central banking, digital wallets, all of that is heading towards Agenda 2030. But the nail on the coffin, if you like, is the climate change issue, because it's all embraces of all the principles of the Sustainable Development Goals. But at the core of it is spirituality. And that is why for ages I've been telling everybody to get this book here. It's free. Why? Because this National Sunday Law book, let's try and get that in there, will explain to people why they are pushing a global day of rest. Why is the Pope doing that? Why is the Jesuit Order involved in it? Why is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change pushing it? The UN, the EU? It's because it is what the Bible says is coming. That's how I've known about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not sustainability. It's Satanism ability. Okay, that's what they want. And if you think that God is in charge of the realms of men at the moment, it's just not the case. Satan's in charge at the moment, and those people who do serve God are at war with him and his servants in order to bring it back into the kingdom of God, which respects the right and free will of all human beings, which the Satanists freaking don't. They've got the money, they've got the power, they've got the media, but not for long.
Yeah, no, I'm just reading a comment from my dear sister Jacqueline here, who's a good friend of mine. Love you, sis, but I cannot agree with your statement is here. The good people that I knew, and I knew Auntie June very well. She was my nanny's cousin, June. This is Willie's mother. And she was a lovely, lovely lady. Now, and also Matua Moana, who passed away, Wamairai Te Rangatira, they had a very good core to their mahi, but that's not what's happening at this hui. From what I saw in the presentations by the Naya and all that, the general body of the principle of this hui is to circumnavigate the Waka Meninga. I think that's really what it comes down to. The Waka Meninga is the national body. You have the National Waka Meninga, which is the council of the rangatira of the United Tribes. And, you know, they're also using language around Aotearoa, yet he waka putanga is a reference to New Tirani. So there's all these different nuances that go and all that, but it's pretty, Now, Paul is just saying, interesting here, Paul Hunia, kia ora, Paul. Hey, guys, every man and woman need to put pen letters and put every government agency under the penalty of perjury and ask the serious question. Remember, the government and its agency no longer are public servants. Yes, do your homework, people. You can stop this. PM me, guys, for more info. So, yeah, this is pretty wicked what they're doing at the moment. And it's the Three Waters thing, which has gone obviously past tonight. You've got this constitutional hui at the same time. Now, I'm sorry, but it's all looking very, very coincidental in the time frame of this. And so I would caution us all, just like Paul just said, we should all be, everybody should be writing letters. And I actually said that a couple of days ago on my broadcast, for everybody to start writing letters to the government, to the MPs. Apparently Simon O'Connor has come out condemning Labor for pushing through the Three Waters legislation. But isn't it about time that Simon O'Connor, who's probably out of all of the MPs in the House of Representatives, has been closest to actually speaking the truth here. I've got to give him credit. He's been the closest. He hasn't come out all the way. Now, in Australia, they've got federal senators and federal MPs that are blowing the whistle all over the show. They're fighting each other. It's awesome to get there, to expose this. And he's come the closest. So, Simon, you know, I know you love your job as an opposition MP with the National Party, but maybe this could be time for you to seriously put the acid on Christopher Luxon to get him to actually pick this up and call this all out for what it is. This is nothing more than globalism. But the problem is, I suspect greatly that Chris Luxon is as up to his eyebrows as Jacinda Ardern, which is a shame.
Yep. My partner, Rebecca, she has a picture that on a shirt that was given to her by our mutual friend James, and it says conjoined twins, and it's got Jacinda Ardern and Chris Luxon sharing a body. And, you know, it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss type thing. You know, a lot of people have been saying that Jacinda's going to be voted out and Chris Luxon will come in and do a whole bunch of things. Because, you know, I'm not sure about that, because I'm looking at the thing. It was just like, could you believe last election the amount of positive coverage that was given? I mean, Jacinda basically hijacked the media. She's like, okay, you all have to give me an hour of election coverage every day so I can tell you about COVID and how great I am and how I'm saving you all. Okay? And the media's like, yeah, well, why wouldn't we? It's not like we defend democracy for a living, you know? Oh my goodness. I had so much Jacinda in my face. I needed a moist towelette. It was just horrific. And it's just, I'm so over this fact. I don't even watch the media, and yet I still get this Jacinda in my face all the time wherever I'm going, you know? And I don't know what to do about it, frankly. And I have done a song about it, Billy. I've done a song about it, and I just put it up today. I'm not sure if we can play it on this stream, can we?
I don't know how to do that from your side, brother. I'm sorry.
No, I can send you a link through the chat. Okay. And in fact, I've sent you two pictures of Rebecca in the chat there.
Ooh, okay, now you're asking a lot of me, man. You're asking a lot of me, pal. Hold on a second. Let's got there. All right, we're going to have to go there. Hold on. I'm going to just try and save all. Okay, we'll go there. And what did you send me something else as well?
Just those two pictures at the moment. I'm just going to pop in the link to the Facebook version of this song as well, so people can enjoy it for the first time. There we go, there's in there.
Alright, is this your song?
Yeah, well, it's okay. It's Boney M's song, but I just redid the lyrics to be about Jacinda.
Yes. Is that ready to go, is it?
Yeah.
Is that what you played me the other week?
Yeah.
Now, where did you put that in the chat, did you?
Yeah.
Alright, people, prepared to be horrified. Hold on, let's see what we got here. All right, hold on. This is either. I guess we need some light humor to. Hold on. Where is this going here? Hold on. I'll just get it in the frame. Wait on a second, caller. Let's see. All right. Okay. Now I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, but everyone else will. Let's.
And also remember to close your Skype chat, so that it puts that little chunk off me. There we go.
Yeah. Go.
Beautiful.
All right, so Jar Jar Jacinda by Vinny and the Vendettas. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? I don't know if you are, but here we go. Oh.
It's easy as woman down in New Zealand, bro.
With big shiny teeth and the swagger that's so bold.
People look up to her, adoration and respect.
Ignoring warning signs that she was a great good friend. She could conjure lines of propaganda, sweet and comforting lies. People would always hit and repeat it, stay safe and be kind. Georgia, Dustin, Daniel, Dylan, Joseph, and Grandma. She puts those sticks like a jab in your arm. Georgia, Dustin, Daniel, both become an empty car. It's such a shame we let it go.
Sustained propaganda.
Every Mason scholarship degree was in ER.
She wanted to create two-tier society.
To depopulate by mandating the vaccines. Gone unseen thanks to corrupt media who took money without question. Easy to see why people believe but no opposition. She wants to see sex and jazz in your arm. Georgia, Justin, Dara, both bigger than Antifa. It's such a shame we let it go on.
All right, I think we got the drift. But that was
it's just about done. The final bit is coming in, man.
All
it's
right,
so good.
Here we go. Just to take a breath. All right, here we go again.
But when the thinking and trusting for this hunger of power became known to less and less people, the protest to remove this insidious witch became larger and louder.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I think it's going to be a cult classic hit, that one, brother. I really do.
Well, I love the comment there. Don't give up your day job, Vinny.
That was from, it's from Sister Jacqueline. She meant it with love. She loves what you do.
Of course she does.
Yeah. She does. She's a big supporter of yours. Oh my gosh. That's funny, tragic, and awesome all at once. There you go. I love it.
Welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, while we get into that, right. So here's a little reminder, everyone. This is a stuff.co.com.nz love letter where they ask you for more money. They've received millions of dollars from the New Zealand government, your taxpayer money, to write out propaganda, to write out misinformation, hit pieces, slander pieces, two documentaries which are just unbelievably bad. They hate democracy, yet they want any more of your money. So I've got no problem any longer saying, please, can you donate to our documentary project, number one, The River of Lies, New Zealand Scandemic. Now, we're going to have trailer four probably ready to go. What's today? Wednesday, Thursday. We'll have it ready for the weekend. It'll be coming out either tomorrow night or Friday, all right? So trailer four, and I think you'll like that one. It's only short, snappy, but I think you're going to be encouraged. There's some blooming good documentaries out. The latest one, Died Suddenly, there's that one. There's Safe and Effective, A Second Opinion. that's blooming awesome as well. And so we better make sure we do a pretty good job with that one, don't you think? I think we better. The River of Lies, New Zealand Scamdemic Investigative Documentary. The other thing as well, please, if you would like to support me, either with my broadcasting work, this is about me, this is not about the documentary, this is how you support me, this is how you support me and my family, this is how you help us to live and survive while I do this work. If you like my ministry work as well, and by the way, on that note, we've got these awesome books that we want to give away, National Sunday Law, also this beauty here, The Great Controversy, which will tell you what is happening. Please get these books. They are free, including this beautiful, beautiful Christian devotional book, Steps to Christ. And funny that, eh? It's got a photo of the UN building there, and it's Jesus knocking on the door saying, what the heck are you doing there? And so that's a beautiful, inspirational, devotional reading book. These are free, family. If you would like them, please email me at billy@ibc.net.nz, billy@ibc.net.nz, and I'll get these to you. Okay, if you need a Bible, get your King James Bible. That's available for a brand new one for just a small donation. I'll send you one of those brand new as well for you. But if you'd like to support me, this is the way to do it. Vinny, how can people support you as well, bro? Because we both got our legal fees. And living fees, that's for sure.
Well, they can go to vinnyeastwood.com, and if you scroll down or just have a look at the donate tab on vinnyeastwood.com, you will be able to send me money through Patreon, PayPal, and Kiwi Bank. So hopefully everybody, I'll also pop that in the chat room for your audience here as well, guys. So just keep that up for a moment. And also my band, we're in the studio now, and we are actually recording some of our music at the moment. So hopefully guys will be able to support the band on Patreon there as well, because Patreon banned me after I got deplatformed off of YouTube. So I think I'm operating on about $3,000 less a month than I was when before all this censorship and stuff like that happened, and with about maybe 5% of the audience, maybe less, I think. And you're operating on maybe about 1% of what your audience used to be now as well. I mean, of course, your audience did get a lot bigger than mine.
Oh no! Look, I mean, I'm horribly, 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 horribly shadow banned. No doubt about it, and it's horrible. But what we are doing, and please everybody, if you can go to the riveroflies.co.nz, if you can go to riveroflies.co.nz, that would be awesome. Now I just want to show you guys something and explain why it is important. Okay, all right, so go to camera 4. Thank you, sir. Get that. Now, that's your body in that shop, by the way, Vinny. So get your orders in for Christmas of our T-shirts. We're doing a big order. I've got a little order coming this week to satisfy the current orders that we've got. But put your new orders in, because we're going to do a slightly amended and designed. These ones that we've done here will become collector's items, by the way, because we have to change them. But anyway, what I do want to do is go back to the truth is coming. So this is our website here, with some fun facts on it. We're going to be going on about that. It's got the trailers here. We're going to have our fourth trailer, download from as well. But please subscribe to us so that we can. I'm going to be creating a weekly newsletter, so you can get information and things that you will not get in the normal course of a day. This is going to be, I'm going to try and make that bigger here. And you're going to, hold on, just move that down there. Thank you, sir. Move us over here and my big fat brain over here. All right, so what we've got here, we've got our website, and you can go into and find out all about it, take action. You can also donate here, contact if you want to send me messages, things like that. There, I've even got my mobile number on there if you want to text me. That's how you donate, straight to it. It's easy to do. Our team of people. And that's about to be updated, by the way. We've got heaps of people, new people coming on as well, which is fantastic. Take action. and all these other things as well. And you can get that at www.riveroflies.co.nz. And there you go. There's our homepage right there. So that's how you do it. So my big thanks as well to Sister Lorraine and Brother Colin for helping us get that up and running. But please subscribe to that, because what we're going to do is, before I go live, I'll be able to send out an email to everybody going, hey, guess what, everyone? I'm going live in 10 minutes. See you on Facebook or see you on Telegram, because, you know, they can close you down at any time. It'd be good to do that. All right, Vincenzo.
Oh, and last thing, show people the baby video, the baby pictures.
Yes. Hold on 1 second. Oh, well, it's Puku pictures at the moment.
Yeah.
We will wait for the beautiful baby pictures when they're out, mate. So hold on 1 second. Hold on, we got to do that. Here we go. Let's get that one there, and I look forward to doing the marriage ceremony for you guys as well. That I've just did my first wedding just a few weeks ago. It'd be nice to do yours, my brother. So here you go. Look at that. There's one there. Let's put you back up there. Put me back up there. That's a lovely photo. And then there's this little photo. And she's ready to go. She looks like she's getting ready to burst out there.
Yeah, she's due on the 28th. And we're having a gender reveal party on the 4th. And in the meantime, people can go see those pictures on my profile, and they can put in their guesses for whether or not it's a boy or a girl. We already know, but you can guess away, folks.
And I almost put my foot in it just then, so that was lucky I didn't. For some reason, I just knew, hold on, I better not say what I was about to say. And so, thank you, Lord. Otherwise, that would have been the end of that competition. All right, whānau, we're gonna wrap it up now. Again, Vinny, would you like to say anything before we go to court tomorrow? One last chance to say something to people.
Yeah. My naturopath said to me that stress is affecting me really massively. It's affected my liver. It's affected my pancreas, my adrenals, and so on and so forth. And he said that what you've got to really do, Vinny, is you've got to very positively project things that are going to happen. For example, at your court case, Vinny, visualize the judge going, all charges are dismissed. All right? And so that's what I've been doing. And so what's going to happen tomorrow in terms of my visualization is my lawyer is going to start to speak, and he's going to get interrupted by the judge. And the judge is going to go, no, I don't need to hear your defense. I don't need to hear your cases. I don't need to look through any of this documentation. I've already looked through it. The case is clear enough to me. You guys are not guilty, and you're free to go. And the courtroom just erupts and cheers, and we give us a big hug, and then we walk out, and that is done and dusted. Didn't it make you feel good just thinking about that? It makes me feel good visualizing that. You know, thank you, David Holden from HoldenHealthcare.com, for your wonderful sage wisdom.
Amen. Yeah, he's a good man, David Holden from Holden Healthcare. He's a great man, and I had an interview with him the other day, and it went so very well. All right, brother, thank you so much for being on with me. Just hold it 1 second there while I do my farewell address. Anyway, whānau, that was the original. Let's make no bones about it. Vinny was the first. While we were getting on with our lives, doing other things, he was out there. He was already questioning the establishment. He was taking risks. He was putting himself out there. And now, of course, we've been punished for speaking out against government harm and tyranny. Now, remember this, is that we didn't harm anybody. No cases, no broken property, no damaged property, nothing. No rioting, small protest, 80 people, 80 to 90 people. And yet, the Bill of Rights is the protectorate and guarantor of our rights to do that, regardless of any situation. What happens to us tomorrow really is the bird in the chamber. If that bird falls over and dies of gas poisoning, then there's not much left of this country, and we are further down the pipeline of tyranny than what I may have even thought. But make no bones, this is a good time to get to seek the Lord while we can, while we have time. There's been a lot of good joking tonight, and I'm glad we finished on a laugh. But it is a serious time that we must be sober through and think things through clearly. And by the way, don't misread me in the things I say. I would love to be friends and have unity with all of the freedom truthers and fighters. I can't believe it's not like that. I've never wanted and still don't want anything for myself. I'm not after a job in Parliament. Vinny's not after a job in Parliament. We just want to be able to live in peace and live with our whānau and live. That's it, period. I don't want to be the head of a movement. I just want to be the head of my whānau and the pastor of my ministry. Those are the things that really want, that are my motivation. So I'm not after stopping the Outdoors Party going into Parliament if they can do that. But what I am into is holding them accountable for saying that I stole $5,000 of someone on their website. I can't believe that. I wouldn't steal 5 cents of someone. And, you know, what we have to look for is the truth, not truth secondhand by either me or Vinny or anyone else. Do your own research, pray, look into the Word, do all those things, but do it for yourself and always be open. I remain open to everybody. Everybody. And if I've hurt and offended anyone myself, please accept my apologies. It's never been my intention. And it's a very dark time we live in. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And no, it's not a freight train coming right at us. But for me, it holds the promise of the return of the Lord. Seek him while he can be found, whānau. If you'd like some fellowship time with me, down over here, back to there, is billy@ibc.net.nz. billy@ibc.net.nz. If you'd like any of these reading materials or a Bible, please let me know. If you want to join my weekly Bible study groups, which are just beautiful, full of beautiful people, you are more than welcome to join us on Skype to those. Meanwhile, everyone, I will see you tomorrow at around 11:30 at the Auckland District Court. And if you are coming from afar, like Auntie Barb and Uncle Reza, and maybe Sister Sheena from, well, wherever, if I'm up, Oriwa, and Sister Vivian, or all of you that may come, please do so safely, and I look forward to giving you hugs when we get you there. All right, everyone, good night. Pō marie.